Welcome, everyone, back to Detroit Rising podcast, Crane's Detroit Business. I'm Chad Livengood, senior editor at Crane's Detroit Business. The cannabis business is big right now in Michigan as voters just legalized recreational marijuana last year. And after many years, the medical marijuana industry is starting to really kind of take fold with a lot more organization and certainly a lot more regulation from Lansing. This is a business that is thriving, an industry thriving in Detroit and all over the state. And we are writing about it and tracking it closely. I am recording this week at the Net Impact Conference at TCF Center on the riverfront of Detroit, and my guests this week are speaking on a panel about the cannabis industry, and we're going to talk about that right now. Joining me today is Anthony Sabatella. He is the president and CEO of THC 123, which is a company that helps with the HR back office operations of cannabis companies. And then we also have Chris Jackson. He is with Indica LLC, which operates a marijuana provisioning center in Ypsilanti under the brand name of Sticky. Gentlemen, welcome to the podcast today.
Hello.
Hey, thanks for having us. Quick confession, Chad.
Yes, go ahead.
You know, before, so I'm a fan of what you do, and before I knew how to pronounce your name, I looked it up on paper, and I said, that is a strong last, Livengood is a strong last name, and he must wake up ready to conquer the world every single day, but that was just a small confession.
Well, right? I do wake up trying to conquer my little world every day, and
wonderful.
But yeah, it's pronounced Livengood, and I also, 9 out of 10 people think it's Livengood,
okay,
so
good.
You are not alone, although I tell my wife that if someday we can afford a cottage on Lake Huron, people have these signs on US 23 with funny names with what their cottage is going to be, and ours is going to be Livengood at the Lake.
I like that.
just because nice.
that's
play on the joke. That is the dream, yeah. So, gentlemen, thank you. Speaking of dreams, what's your background? What did you do before you got into the marijuana business?
Absolutely. Back up all the way, I was a graduate 2013 from Alma College, business administration, concentration in finance, minor in economics, and I might have been the weed guy at the campus. So after there, I went and worked at my father's company, America's Back Office, which is the engine behind THC 123, and I'm currently our director of risk management and workers' compensation. So I'm able to provide policy and claim support for over 600 businesses nationwide at this time. So I was able to see all of those resources and that opportunity there, and took a look at my former life, and I saw the cannabis industry really needed that back office and that HR support. And from there, we decided to create THC 123.
You're trying to professionalize the potheads, so to speak.
Absolutely. That's what we are.
And Chris,
we are professionals.
What's your background? How did you get into this business?
I hail from Pontiac, Michigan, so not that far from here. I graduated from Hope College, so we beat Alma a number of times in football while I was playing there. But ended up working as a project manager in corporate America for a pretty large corporation. Shortly after that, moved back to Pontiac, ran for both city council and state representative. And this was a few years ago. And while that was happening, the guys who I am now partnered with supported my campaign, saw that I was an advocate. For me, the main thing in this industry is economic empowerment, and then criminal justice reform were my platforms. Mm-hmm. So transitioned well into filling a gap for the company that I work with now, and we've had a very good partnership. So yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your operation you have in Ypsilanti right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So as of right now, we run a provisioning center. It's called Sticky Ipsy in Ypsilanti. So we're one of many in a saturated Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti market. But, we've been performing. So when it's a provisioning center, for those of you who don't know that are listening, it's essentially a dispensary, right? Michigan just calls them provisioning centers. We are permitted in many cities across the state. We are incrementally growing, but getting what we call vertically integrated as we speak. So that's when you control the entire process, manufacture your own plant, Can extract oils or process it and then ultimately sell it at a retail. And so right now we have our retail location and under construction for our processing plant.
Where's this processing plant going to be at?
Mount Morris, Thetford Township, so not that far away from Flint, Michigan.
Yeah. Okay, and just a little north of Flint.
Yeah.
And what type of problems have you run into trying to get into an industrial space?
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, what you have is the state has allowed for many municipalities to be able to control what they allow and what they don't allow within their borders, right? So it's a matter of understanding the local politics, what's available. Some areas like Mount Morris may say, hey, here's a green zone and you can only operate within this certain space. Others will say, hey, we're not going to allow, you know, anything so far as retail outlets. So they opt out completely. So it's a matter of understanding the landscape in each municipality. And then I would say, to answer your question, the main issue that we have is that once people find out that their building falls within the green zone, prices go way out of control. So, you know, if you look at downtown Pontiac right now, it's almost impossible because so many buildings are held up for the potential of a provisioning center. It's almost impossible for anyone to get a good rate that is in any industry outside of the cannabis industry.
So if you wanted to start a restaurant in downtown Pontiac,
it would be difficult to find a good market
in the
market price
zone.
Business in that zone. Absolutely.
Yeah. And green zones are, I mean, they're popping up everywhere now.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
So this is, I mean, why did you go to Mount Morris? What was the
reason? You know, you have some cities that are more liberal about their process. You have others that are more stringent. And Mount Morris was one of those, you know, more liberal opportunities where they say, hey, you know, there's an unlimited amount of things that are allowed within this green zone. Whereas a city like Traverse City says, hey, we're going to only allow 13 provisioning centers and it's a competitive process. So it's about understanding where we are in business, what we're trying to accomplish, and then going after it that way.
And that's, I mean, that's still Genesee County. It's a good location.
Absolutely.
It gets you up and down the I-75 corridor,
absolutely.
Basically.
Yep.
Yeah. And Anthony, your business is really, you know, a business-to-business operation for these emerging companies like Sticky Ipsy and such. How are you getting your foot in the door to go in and sell your services? What's the pitch?
Absolutely. Well, I think the pitch is the need for the cannabis industry to take a strong look at HR, because I know Chris knows, with, you said, a staff of 20, that it is, you know, his operation is just going to be a building with some plants in it if he doesn't have the people. So really having our business tied directly to the people and looking to impact the people through cannabis HR, we're really looking and telling and showing business owners the need to dive down, take care of the people that's taking care of them, to really retain that top talent to keep their business growing and keep it on pace for the large industry growth that's about to take place.
Yeah, there's obviously, with all the regulations from the state level, there's a lot of effort, concentrated effort to make this look as legit, because the public has some concerns.
Absolutely.
And so you're trying to sort of professionalize some of the systems that go into either the accounting or the recruitment of people. Do you do the background checks?
Yep,
on them
we
as
do
well?
Background string checks, drug screens, minus marijuana. We ignore all marijuana results because we look and view marijuana as medicine, not as a drug.
Sure.
You know, touching on what you said, we're able to provide cannabis HR through three distinct service models for business to business, but also business to consumer. The first model is the payroll and the HR outsourcing model through our licensed PEO. So we handle payroll, tax management, employee benefits, 401k, workers' compensation, risk management. Our second model is our licensed employment agency, so we can handle the staffing and recruiting, but also offer some free value-added services to Sticky Ipsy and other cannabis businesses through our free online job board. And then lastly, we're able to protect both the business owners and those employees through our licensed insurance agency. And we're able to do all of this through a digital platform, which will help us maximize our efforts throughout the state and then eventually nationwide.
Chris, it's a tight labor market for a lot of businesses, industries. I mean, how have you had any difficulty getting people to work, or is there a wage issue you kind of feel like you face?
Yeah, so I will say this. I think the cannabis industry has done a really good job at paying people, on average, from what I can see, $15, $16 an hour, mm-hmm. right? Whether it's to be a grower and a manufacturer, or if it's to be a bud tender at the retail outlets, I think the cannabis industry is really good at understanding that if we want good people and we want to keep good people, then we have to be well above what the minimum wage is to keep those folks. The next goal is to, it's expensive, but the next goal is to get everybody, insurance, right? So that this can be a legitimate job. And really, it is a skill trade. There are, schools, right, like sure. concepts that are starting to pop up outside of your Oaksterdams. There's one in Pontiac that'll be available soon, Higher Learning Institution, where you'll have an opportunity to go and learn what it means to be a processor or a grower or a bud tender. And then we develop a relationship with them to bring people in that through that funnel. And so, it's a new industry. It's an exciting industry. So we haven't had a lot of issues, to answer your question, with finding people. It's just about finding the ones that want to work and want to grow within the industry.
What are some of the options, Anthony, for healthcare? And also, I'm kind of also curious, all these companies have to pay workers' comp, I assume, yes. as well. Are there insurers out there that don't want to do business with cannabis companies at all?
Yeah, I'd say at least 90% of them.
at least.
Well, explain that.
Yeah, they still take a negative look at this industry. They're excited. They see the large emerging market. They see the bubble. They see the fusion.
They see money.
Infusion of the money. Exactly. Right. They see green. They're just the wrong kind of green. They see the green and green. So we take a look at it that there is no large national player that's willing to go and, put up a sign, or any kind of bank that wants to go put up a sign like bring your weed money here. But there are banks, financial institutions, insurance companies that have taken a look, analyzed the risks of this industry, and said we're all in. So it's linking up, finding those regional type institutions that are comfortable accepting this risk, that have taken a nice holistic look at this industry as a whole, and do see the future value of providing medicine to people.
Yeah, we just featured the credit union in Sterling Heights that is doing mm-hmm. a lot of mm-hmm. business, and I forget the name of it off the top of my head. And can you remember it either?
Yes, you can reach me at thc123.com if you'd like that information.
Okay. Well, there is that credit union up there that they've done a lot of business taking in money. Credit unions have less regulation as the FDIC banks, mm-hmm. so they have a little more flexibility, right?
Yes, they don't operate underneath the same federal guidelines, and that's where I think a lot of the chief risk officers of these large banks do take a step and take the conservative approach, and they're still taking the wait and see approach. They see upsetting their conservative book of business and their money, truthfully, already in the bank, going after a large emerging market like that, there is some onside risk up there. So it's I feel upon federal legalization, there will be a large movement to allow a lot more flexibility within our financial institutions. We've had the Safe Banking Act, States Act that we're looking to push through. Congress that we're looking to make efforts to help build up this new emerging market.
Yeah, but so back to the insurance for a second. Mm-hmm. Is there a couple of insurers out there that are stepping out and saying we'll take on this pool of employees?
Yep, we have companies out there like QuadScore that have really looked to make an impact. They'll provide all different lines of coverage, general liability, product liability. I've place business with Conifer Insurance. They're based here in Birmingham, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
They've really taken a step and look to be one of the forefront industry members. I know they are part of the Michigan Cannabis Industry Association and look to offer all of those members a 10% discount on their product.
What have you run into with this, Chris?
Well, and Chad, to your point, you know, so we're a part of the MICIA as well, the National Cannabis Industry Association, that had a lot to do with the Safe Banking Act, if you're talking about banking. I do know the name of the credit union, but I don't think that they try to publicize it. They're really selective right now, but we partner with them.
Yep.
So we bank there. And you'll see more of these options, though, as the Safe Banking Act gets through the Senate eventually, and a lot of changes are made to it. You know, one of the points that you made earlier, if I may, was about, you know, the industry moving into a professional sense. And, you know, past that, though, the education is going to be really important. You talked about, you know, the public and how they perceive it, you know, whether it's a disadvantaged community. When we talk about social equity, or it's a emerging market that will have thousands of new experiences with retail cannabis. You know, without successful education, you won't have any level of successful adoption. And then without successful adoption, these wildly projected numbers that we keep hearing won't come into fruition. And, you know, as business owners, we hope that it even gets close to what's being projected. And so it goes back to the importance of the education in the market too.
And on insurance, have you, have you had any, have you been able to get insurance yet for your employees?
Yeah. So we are in the process. So we have, you know, all of them have to have, you know, for, you know, by the state regulation, have to have insurance, not the people, but the businesses themselves. Mm-hmm. We don't currently have insurance for our employees, but we're really close to it. But I do know of other friends in the industry that do. And it's not that difficult. It's just way more expensive than, you know, regular types of businesses.
And in utilizing these credit unions, you're in Ypsilanti. This credit union we're talking about is in Sterling Heights.
Absolutely.
It's a long ways away.
Yeah.
How are you moving? Are you moving cash to the credit union? Or how, are you a cash-only business still?
So, unfortunately, yes, right? And that's the scariest thing, I think, about being in the industry is that you have to find a way to get the money to the bank. Now, sometimes credit unions do pickups on your behalf, so you don't have to worry about you being the person to ultimately transfer the money. But we are quickly, you know, there are options out there where you can use debit cards, right? You have to pay a really high amount on the cost per transaction.
Mm-hmm.
But it's certainly options out there if, you know, safety is a concern for having to transport cash.
Yeah, and, you know, to touch on your issue with the cash, you know, one of the value-added services of being that payroll provider that THC 123 provides is taking that cash out of the equation. Like you said, you're set up and can take that cash directly to a secure transporter and get that in the banks. Unfortunately, I think MJ Biz said only 54% of cannabis-based businesses do have banking set up on a nationwide platform.
Mm-hmm.
That still leaves 46% of our industry members out there getting paid in cash on Fridays, and I'm sorry, but, you know, in some of these areas with higher crime rates, you are now leaving your employees up to be a potential victim, which I don't believe
Absolutely.
Business owners fully see that perspective, you know, and fortunately, being an HR company, you know, my value is to look to protect that employee that works in these different locations. So if we can protect them and get them on direct deposit, get them on a paid card, and take that opportunity to be a victim away, we are all better for it.
And how are they paying you?
Yep, we look to set up and help them with the cash issue on the front end. You know, like Chris said, we have mutual banking relationships at credit unions. I also have accounts set up, you know, at different regional banks that are comfortable with this industry, some based in Mason, Michigan. And there's, you know, a numerous amount of solutions out there. I look to help them on the front end solve those issues. So on the back end, I can provide my services to them just through a simple ACH transfer or a wire transfer and take the cash out of the equation completely.
gentlemen, as we kind of move forward, we get closer to the recreational marijuana sales, which I believe are supposed to happen next year.
First quarter of next year.
What are some of the you know potential issues you see that are going to emerge as the industry is kind of getting its legs here a little bit?
So I'll speak from an operator's perspective. You know, right now, and the problem is being fixed, but, you know, and it's through the MRA, the Marijuana Regulations Agency. Andrew Brisbo's director there, and we've had numerous conversations about it, so we're on the same page. But, you know, there's a shortage of, you know, flower, for instance, in the industry right now. You know, it's a process. When you get permitted, there's a long build out process for a manufacturer. Not only that, but it takes 6 to 8 months to, you know, drop your first crop. Right. So, you know,
there's a shortage of
flour.
Usable flour.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Right. And then it has to get tested to your point, meet certain testing standards. And Michigan has one of the highest. I don't think that's a bad thing because really it's preparing us for interstate commerce federally at some point. But there's a shortage as of right now. And so as the free market works itself out, the goal for most operators, we're doing okay. But the goal for most operators is just to stay alive because some only have a couple of strains on their shelf, you know, whereas we have a lot more. And so that's an issue. But with recreational come on board, now you have access to people who formerly didn't have a medical card, who are 21 years of age and older, who get to have this experience all of a sudden. And so the issue of not having enough flower for the market isn't going to change by adding another couple of million people potentially to the market.
I mean, if I'm hearing you right, your concern is sometime in the next this coming winter.
Yeah.
Recreation opens up and there could just be a run on marijuana in Michigan.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. There may not be enough. There are other things, right? You have, you know, vapes for now, right?
Right.
Depending on what happens. So you have some things that can compensate at edibles, but, you know, when it comes to flower, I mean, it's a, you know, at least a third of our business. And I would say that it's pretty close to that for others too. So
how much concern do you have that there'll be continued budding black market out there?
It won't go away. No. Right. I don't think you ever get rid of it, but the best way to mitigate it, I think, is regulation.
Yes.
And so the more that you can help, you know, caregivers, for instance, obtain what they're calling a Class A license when you can, you know, grow 100 plants, right? The more you can help these folks transition from one market to another, I think the less you're going to have those types of experiences. I think people are becoming more sophisticated about cannabis and, you know, want to have choices and understand what the strains are and how they make you feel and want to be able to talk to a bud tender and understand, you know, this is how this is going to affect me versus another strain, right? So I think people are becoming more sophisticated the more that this becomes a legal market. But I don't think the black market goes away. You just try to mitigate it as much as possible.
Because there's caregivers out there that got the 12 plants
minimum.
Right. Yeah. And then they've got a lot more that are not you know, falling
exactly
under
right.
the medical marijuana law.
Yeah,
I believe the last numbers I saw was 80% of the market is still being provided by the caregivers, and that's the commercial market now. You know, so there is a lot of growth there, and it's a simple numbers game. When you look at what I think just under 40,000 caregivers times that by 72 plants, I mean, I believe we're roughly in the 4 million plant range, and, you know, we may have, what, about 50 licensed grows currently?
Yep. If
so
that,
at, yeah. Yeah, so at, you know, at 1,500 plants per license, it's a simple numbers game to see that. You know, if you look at cannabis as an iceberg, or marijuana as an iceberg more exclusively, that the commercial market is the tip of the iceberg, but it is the caregivers beneath that is providing this medicine to our patients.
Any closing thoughts here, Anthony, about just sort of things to watch for going forward?
Things to watch for? Just opportunity. Look to link up with like-minded people. Look to link up and create a team. Having a strong team will be the only ability to weather this storm. And, you know, here at THC123, we aim to help provide those team members to you and those other business resources.
Chris Jackson with Sticky Ipsy. Any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I would say right quick. I mean, you know, what's going to be interesting about the cannabis market, especially when rec hits or adult use is what it's called too. The interesting thing is going to be the micro business licensing.
Yep.
It's going to be a new type of license where it's going to essentially be like craft breweries, but for the cannabis industry. Mm-hmm. So you'll have an all-in-one opportunity to not only be the outlet, but to manufacture a small amount of plants and extract oils and process things if you see fit. You'll see a lot more of those popping up, I think, in the very near future. And so I'm interested to see how that plays out.
Just a standalone pod shop, basically.
Exactly right. That has everything included in it. So, yeah.
Well, it's a new frontier, and we'll see how it all kind of plays out.
Ever-changing. Yeah.
Chris Jackson with Sticky Ipsy and Anthony Sabatella with THC123. Thank you for joining me here on the Detroit Rising Podcast.
Wonderful. Thank you for having the opportunity.
I'm Chad Livengood, Senior Editor at Crane's Detroit Business. You've been listening to the Detroit Rising Podcast. If you're listening to this podcast on SoundCloud, please subscribe to our iTunes channel. We're on Google Play or wherever else you get your podcasts.